This is an interview with Jim A. Yule for the Youngstown State University Oral History Department. It deals with the history of the Niles Police Department and the Ku Klux Klan riot in Niles, 1924. The interview is by Stephen G. Papoulos at Mr. Yule's house at 104 Wood Street in Niles. The date is December the 5th, time 7:40 p.m. Remember this. Mr. Yule, can you tell me anything about your parents, what their names were, why they came to Niles, where they lived?
I can tell you about my dad. About my dad first. He came from Italy, born and raised in Italy, and when first coming here, he settled in New York City. I think he was there for about a period of, perhaps 5 or 6 years, and a small business there. And then later came to Niles, I suppose through friends that recommended Niles to him. A lot of jobs available here.
What year was that he came to Niles?
Possibly, I think, I'd say now, approximately, not sure, about 18, he settled in New York about 1888, then came to Niles perhaps about the year 1892, about 1892.
Where did he work then?
You mean in New York City or
in Niles?
Niles? Mm-hmm. At Niles, he first started, I think, with the Erie Railroad, then transferred to the blast furnace. It's located near the Erie Station there, and then went to the Niles Fire Brick Company, where he worked for a period of about 30-some years.
Mm-hmm. Where were you born at?
Born Niles, Ohio.
What street?
Mason Street. Corner of Mason and Wood.
The corner of Mason and Wood. Okay. About what year was that you were born? What year were you born in, Mr. Yule?
1905.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had, I think, five brothers beside myself. Five brothers and five sisters.
Big family.
We were, five. With myself would be 11. Oh, yeah, I had five in addition to me. We were six boys and five girls. Mm-hmm. Family of 11.
When you were young and growing up, what did you and some of your brothers and sisters do as a child? What are some of your earliest recollections on Mason Street?
Well, in those days, there wasn't too much activity. We had no playgrounds, and we just gathered together, depending on the weather. If it was good weather, we played outdoors, and we created our own games. We made up our own games.
What kind of games?
We played baseball. We played hockey in the street. And we played football, all the usual kids' sports. And, of course, in the wintertime, we spent our evenings indoors. Mostly family nights, you know, where we all stayed together. Mm-hmm. And it was early to bed and early to rise.
Mm-hmm. What about school? What do you remember about your school?
School? Well, you mean the grade school or high school?
High school.
High school in particular? Well, I went to Niles McKinley High School. I took the classical course there. I don't have any points of interest you want mentioned? Or
I'd like to know what classes you like best. Who were some of your school teachers?
Classes or studies? Now, would you want, you know, the classes I liked them all. Mm-hmm. Whether freshman or senior, but studies, I enjoyed sciences and mathematics.
Who's your favorite teacher?
My favorite teacher? Well, I had several of them. I could name you a few. I liked my Latin teacher, Miss Maiden. Her name is Miss Maiden. She later went on to teach at South High School in Youngstown. And I had Mr. Craig in chemistry. He was a very good teacher. I could name many of them. I don't know how many you want me to name.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. What about sports?
Sports, I wasn't too active in high school. Mm-hmm. I didn't engage a little baseball, but I didn't engage in too many sports in high school. Well, I did after I came out of high school.
Uh-huh. Who were some of your friends in high school?
You mean chummed around with?
Right.
Oh, I had, let's say, George Sierra.
Sierra?
You want me to name them?
Yeah, George Sierra.
George Sierra.
C-E-R-O.
C-E-R-A.
A.
Nelson Brooks.
B-R-U-T-Z.
Yeah, and Joe Bassett.
B-A-S-S-E-T-T.
Joe Bassett, yes. And Joe Trimber.
Trimber, T-R-I-M-B-U-R.
And Jim Ravella, he's present, Judge Ravella.
Oh, R-A-V-I-E-L-L-A.
R-A-V-E-L-L-A, Judge Ravella, mm-hmm. Later became judge. And I could go on and name a good many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the ones I chummed around mostly, you know, we stayed together. We were closer. And
When you were in, let's say, high school, senior year, what did you guys do on a typical Saturday night? Where did you go?
Saturday night, we didn't go much of anywhere. If we lucky if we had a dime for a movie on Saturday night. Generally, Saturdays, we'd spend our time probably selling junk, selling newspapers, carrying sawdust to grocery stores, where they laid sawdust on the floors in those days, and maybe we perhaps made a few nickels and dimes. If we did, then we'd go to a show. Either that or we stayed home.
Mm-hmm. What about
our Saturday night?
What did you do, let's say, during the day? That's what you
did
work,
huh? That's what we did during the day.
Friday night.
If we didn't do that, we played games or worked around the house. We had to chop wood, saw wood. Many household chores that we had to take care of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those came first.
What did you sell your newspapers? Downtown or in
downtown.
The neighborhood?
Downtown. We went from door to door in business establishments, you know.
Yeah.
That's where we sold our paper. Either on the street corner or we walked into it if they would permit us to.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood on the street corner, so.
What year did you graduate from high school?
1923.
In 1923, Mr. Yule, what would a typical day on Main Street be like? What did it look like downtown? What can you remember about it?
Well, we had very few automobiles. We had automobiles, but very few were parked on the street. And Main Street, we had a lot of people in those days. Particularly on the weekend nights, Friday nights, Saturday nights. It was very, very congested, in fact. And you made acquaintances or you saw friends and you got together. And it was really a great night downtown. Saturday night downtown was something to remember.
What could you do downtown?
Oh, we went to ice cream parlor or we talked at the street corner. Or went to the, if you were old enough, you went to pool room, played pool, billiards, and that's about all. Or a movie.
What were the movie houses like? Did they have live shows?
We had beautiful movie houses. We had the Warner Theater on State Street, and you had the Butler Theater on Main Street, and we had the Stafford Theater, which was a little older and more little obsolete, but still existed. Then we had, the later years, in the late 20s, we had the McKinley Theater. That's where the present Sparkle Market is today.
Mm-hmm. What did you do after you graduated from high school?
I graduating high school, I had no finances.
You had no finances?
No, my parents couldn't afford to send me to college, so I had to find a way to raise money. So I had to go to work. I went to work in the Niles Fire Brick Company. Summertime, I worked in the Republic Steel as an extra man on the hot mill. Then I finally got a job in the Niles Steel Products as a timekeeper in the Niles Steel Products. So I raised enough finances to get me started in college, and I went away to college, 1926.
What was working at the Firebrick property like?
Niles Firebrick? Well, they had two plants. They had the number one plant, which is alongside of Langley Street, opposite the Erie Station, which is no longer there. And that was the plant number one, which was the original plant. They made clay fire brick there. Then the number two plant was the, what do they call it, community park, or the city bought that property now.
Near the Central, behind Central Park.
Behind,
or near it, anyway.
The city, probably, where Dr. Thomas.
Oh, yeah, that's not Central Park.
You know where Dr. Thomas is?
Dr. Williams?
Dr. Williams, rather, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was
along East Park.
That was the original, the newer office of the Niles Firebrick, and the plant was over and beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a larger plant. Number two plant was a larger plant.
Which plant?
It was owned by the Thomases and the Thomases originally owned it.
Which plant did you work at?
I worked in the number one.
What was it like?
And so occasionally they'd send me number two if number one would shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But I just worked there for a short period of time, not too long.
Did you like it?
There was no boys' jobs in the Niles Firebrick. Every job was a man-sized job. You had to work. There was no boys' job. It was very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You worked 8 hours. You worked 10 hours. And you worked just like a man, even though we were kids. I worked in summer vacations, too, when I was only 16, 17. But after school, you worked just like a man. There was no boy job.
Was the pay good?
The pay, I started at 30 cents an hour and then graduated up to 42 cents per hour. You got received $4.20 for 10-hour pay.
What was the management like? Did they take advantage of the workers?
We had no benefits, so if you want to call that taking advantage of somebody, there were no benefits whatsoever existed. And if you were sick, you had no sick leave or no benefits from being sick. You just had to be on the job or if you wanted to get paid. And it was harsh. Now, I don't think they showed too much sympathy for the worker. Now, you had some that were very reasonable with you, but severe.
Mm-hmm. What college did you go to?
Ohio Northern University.
Mm-hmm. And you graduated as a pharmacist?
And I graduated as a pharmacist.
What did you work?
Before that, did I tell you about the Niles Steel Products there, Steve?
What was it like? No, you didn't. What was it like
I told you about the Niles Steel Products. Yeah, I worked there, I think, longer than I did any of the other places. A steel product is a very nice place to work, but it's very dangerous. It's all automatic presses. And I started there as a press operator, then later became a timekeeper. But it was interesting work. We made parts for automobiles. Body parts, such as Chevrolet, Hudson, Ford, and even parts for stoves and washing machines. It's very interesting work because they make so many different parts that you knew about. And it was very dangerous. The Prussians had they didn't have many safety things as they should have, you know.
Mm-hmm. So after college, you were a pharmacist. Where did you go?
After I graduated pharmacy college, took the state board, had to pass the state board, and I come out into the Depression. I faced the Depression, Steve. And there were no jobs available. No matter how you tried, I went here and there in Youngstown and Akron, but no jobs available whatsoever. So I drove taxi cab for a year.
We're at Niles?
Niles. Yeah, I drove taxi cab for 1 year, from six in the evening till six in the morning.
Did you ever have any interesting experiences as a cab driver?
Yes, you hauled around. Now, there were very, very, some nice people that you took from place to place, but then you had some very dangerous characters, too, which you knew how to handle and to cope with.
What kind of dangerous characters?
Well, they were drunks and unruly people like that, but I was never held up. I never had to worry anything. Never had to worry about anything in that respect. But they were mostly, I think, people who were drunk, intoxicated.
Yeah.
But one that tried to harm me. I never faced that. I think I faced more dangers in a drugstore than I did when I drove a cab.
So that was about 1931 that you drove a cab.
1931, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to work, I worked a year in Salem. You know, my first job was in Salem, Ohio.
As a pharmacist?
As a pharmacist, that's right.
Where from there?
From there, I came back home to Niles to work in Ferguson's drugstore on State Street. I told you where it's located, where the present city administration building is now.
That's the safety complex, yeah.
That's right, called the safety complex, Niles Fire.
And Ferguson, of course, later became mayor. Right?
Ferguson, that same year, became mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He was mayor of the city. And I worked there, I think, for about 5 years.
Up to about 37?
1937.
What'd you do then?
I went to Girard, Ohio. Worked in a pharmacy in Girard, Ohio. State drug and pharmacy. State drug, Girard, Ohio. I worked there 1 year. And then I went to Warren, Ohio. From Girard, I went to Warren. In 1938. Well, let's say, just make 39.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there as a pharmacist until my retirement, full retirement, in 1975.
What drugstore was that?
The original name of the drugstore was McGar. We called it Apothecary, which same as a drugstore. Which my partner and I later purchased. And after Mr. McGar passed away, we purchased the store and we operated it for a number of years till my partner passed away. I lost my partner and I operated alone for a period of time.
What'd you name the drugstore?
McGar Apothecary's original name. I gave you that name there.
And then Franklin, did it become?
And it became. I sold out in 1966. I sold out to Franklin Pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is doing business today on Youngstown Road, still there. And I worked there occasionally, part time.
I want to ask you about an incident in 1924. 1924. The Ku Klux Klan riot in Niles.
I can remember some of that, yes. I just, you're a boy, but I have some recollections of that.
How old were you then?
Oh, 18.
18 years old?
18.
Well, what was the mood in Niles about the Klan wanting to come in? What did people feel of that time? First of all, I know that there were a number of times that the Klan tried to come into Niles.
Yeah, they attempted to come in, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were a number of incidents.
That's right.
Can you remember any of these incidents before the riot?
Yes, when the Klan first operated, they came in with good intentions. Then they wanted to hold some parades, which they did downtown, but their demonstrations weren't too favorable. They seemed to antagonize people more than anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then they started to they burned crosses. They burned several in Central Park. And I can even remember when they burned them in our own neighborhood here.
On Mason Street?
Right down the street on Mason Street.
Where at did they burn them on Mason Street?
Right behind Jennings. I think it was one of those lots, and I don't know which lot it was. I don't remember that.
Do you remember the date that they had burned the cross?
The date?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they burned it several times. It wasn't only one time. There's many times that they did burn the cross, more than once.
Why did they pick behind Jennings's? Was there a reason for that location?
Well, I don't know. That I don't know. Were they met for the neighborhood or what, I don't know. I couldn't say, Steve. But they even burned them in the mill. Now, I worked in my summer, that summer vacation, I worked in the Republic Mill, and they burned crosses right in the mill, out on the floor, inside the mill.
Why? Because immigrants worked there?
I don't know, I suppose.
What else do you remember before the riot?
Well, before the riot, I can remember one incident in Central Park. One of the boys was pulled from the Navy, furlough from the Navy, and they took this boy and put him up on a stand and tried to make an example of him, I guess, we didn't stick around too long. But the boy had a uniform on, an American uniform, naval uniform, mm-hmm. So we didn't think that was right either.
What did they make him do up there?
I don't know. We didn't stay, Steve. We didn't stay.
During that demonstration, I believe it was in June of 24, why did the Klan have the demonstration? So, what did you remember about that demonstration? Anything else?
You mean in June?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where they took the sailor.
Well, after that, actually, I don't remember too much other than people talking about it, and they were a little concerned. They saw they foresaw that trouble was coming, and
The sailor,
they wanted to prepare for it. That's all.
The sailor they took up on the stage, they did this because he was against the Ku Klux Klan, right?
Oh, evidently, I suppose. Yeah. That was, yeah.
What was a Klan demonstration like?
Well, I never saw anything wrong other than the burning of the crosses up until this event here. But other than parades. Right in downtown, they had banners. And
how were they dressed?
Downtown, well, they had, I think some had, and a good many of them had, were dressed in uniform, Klan uniforms.
With their heads covered?
Head covered. And I think that's what started all the trouble. When the people saw that, they were greatly opposed to that. Some weren't, no. They didn't all have uniforms.
What did the banners say?
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I did at one time, but I don't remember.
Did very many people come to watch the parades?
Yeah, there were people downtown. There were people, good many people watching, yeah.
What was the talk like? Did they yell at the Klan? Did they shout at them?
I guess there was some of that going on. What they said, I don't remember. That I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one.
How big were the parades?
Oh, I would say a real large-sized parade. It was nothing super, but they were starting to get larger as they went along. They picked up momentum, and they increased in size.
Mm-hmm. Do they look scary, mysterious to you?
Well, we were kids. Naturally, they would. They'd mm-hmm. have that, give you that impression.
Mm-hmm. Any of them ever talk to you?
No, never. Never. Never had any conversation with any.
Did you see the police very much during these parades?
No, we didn't.
Why?
I don't know why, but I never saw them around. They did. I couldn't tell you, Steve.
Mm-hmm. But the talk of the town was one of concern, right?
Yes, it was, yes. All I can remember is the concern of the people. They were very much disturbed by it.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of the people that were speaking out against the Klan most?
Well, I think...
Anyone you can mention? Anyone... whose name you would feel free
no,
to...
No, I couldn't give you names because too many. It would be too many names. I couldn't single out any one person. Because,
most of them were Catholics?
I'd say yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Catholics. They were probably the most concerned. The Catholics.
Mr. Yule, do you remember...
The Italians and the mm-hmm. Irish and all your... foreigners, classifiers as foreigners, they were pretty much worried.
Do you remember any Protestants who might have been leaders on behalf of the immigrants? Protestants who were against the Klan?
No, I never had that experience.
What?
There may have been, but I couldn't name for it.
What role did the church play in all this?
Well, there wasn't much the church could do. They did back us up. They said if we were stepped on and it was going to interfere with our religious worship, you're to defend yourself at all costs. That's the impression he gave us.
Who?
Well, they never spoke it. It was never spoken out in church. At the sermons, but they were very, very much concerned.
Did they ever play any other roles in the affair here with the Klan?
Who's that?
The church.
The church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were instructed to defend ourselves, that's all, because they were out to get us, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did you
so
really?
They knew, the pastors knew that.
Did you really feel that they were out to get you? Could you really feel that?
Yes, that's the way you felt, yeah. You couldn't help but feel it. It's the way they demonstrated.
The cross burning was the...
Yeah, what did that all mean? What was it all about? It was something new and strange to us. So what was it all about? Why was that necessary? That's what the people began to think.
So they were
yes.
Definitely convinced then.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. They knew there was something in the air, so... something brewing, anyhow.
What other demonstrations broiled, or what other incidents occurred before the riot, the big riot?
Well, we had disturbances downtown, plenty.
Okay, can I ask you this? Do you remember a night when the Klan raised a big cross across the street from the McKinley Memorial on Main Street? As soon as they lit it, someone threw a bomb at it.
I didn't see that, but I... they talked about it.
It was in July.
And I can remember another one, I think. A across from the old City Hall on State Street, which is the present Miles Times building. It used to be KFP Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear mention of that?
Yeah, what did that mean? What was KFP? Knights of Pythias?
Yes.
That's where the Klan used to have their conclaves, their meets.
Right, and they had a cross lit up in front all the time, right? The top part of the building, yeah. That was the KFP.
What was the Knights of Pythias?
Well, I don't know too much about them. KFP is all I can remember. Aren't they? They a branch of the Masonic Club?
I don't know. It sounds like it might have been. I don't know. What happened here? They did have a cross lit up all the time. They had lights on it.
I think it was lights.
At the top on the roof.
Yeah. Which nothing wrong with that, but you would think if it were a church or something, you know.
Yeah.
So those are the things that puzzle the people. Seem to be puzzled about.
Mm-hmm. What else? Okay, Mr. Yule, can you remember any other incidents or events that might have occurred with the Klan before the riot?
Well, one other one I can remember, this was in the evening downtown, about 8 o'clock, there was some shooting going on, and of course, I think that was in defiance to, they had going to have some further trouble in the future, and they were concerned about a place that sold, that was actually a pool room and that sold sporting goods and firearms. And I think it was in defiance of that as a possible available source for firearms to be used in the future.
Where did they, what happened here with the shooting? Was it?
Well, the shooting went on for a short period of time, then it ceased, and whether they were ordered to stop or not, I don't know.
Who did the shooting? I don't want to know names, but was it a large...
Well, they had three individuals that did some shooting, shot in the air, not to harm anyone. Just,
were they Catholics?
Just a matter of warning.
Were they Catholics?
Yes, they were.
And they, in other words, went in just as a show of force, more or less?
That's right. They didn't want to do it to harm anybody, but just warning shots.
Where did they shoot at? Where did the shooting occur?
Downtown on State Street.
Were there any Klansmen nearby that could have heard it or seen it?
No, not that I know of. I don't think so.
They just
no
wanted,
one in sight.
They just wanted the word to get out, though.
That's it, exactly.
What was traffic heavy when these boys did this?
Well, in those days, well, you had very little traffic, but there wasn't that much traffic downtown.
Were there a lot of people out that night?
No, there weren't. Not very many people out on the sidewalks or streets.
About what time did it occur?
Like I said, I think I mentioned it was around possibly about 8 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
8:30.
No policemen were around?
Not that I know of. I didn't. We didn't see any. Not that particular time. They may came on the scene shortly afterward, but we didn't see any.
Was there any?
We didn't stick around.
Mm-hmm. Was there any reaction on the Klan's part as to what occurred here that evening?
In regard to that incident, I don't remember whether what was said or done about it. I don't know.
What kind of what was the weather like that evening?
It was a nice evening out. It's a nice summer evening, we call it.
Mm-hmm. Were there any episodes where the Klan might have gone through town shooting the place up?
not at that particular time. No, I don't think I know of any. There may have been. I don't know. I don't remember seeing or hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone else did, but I didn't. I didn't remember. I didn't recall.
Any other demonstrations up to the point where the riot occurred?
No, not that I can remember.
What did people think of Mayor Kistler at this time? What was his attitude towards all this? What was the reaction to people?
A lot of people, although no one could prove it, perhaps some people could. They thought he was associated with the Klan.
Well, I found that in writing, yeah. I imagine he wasn't a very popular person on the East End.
No, when they found that out, he wasn't not too popular. But I think there was clear evidence that he was associated with her.
Mm-hmm. Right. Any evidence that any police officers might have been?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know.
Tell me about that day in October then, when the Klan did come in large numbers.
In October is when troubles started to multiply. They were on the upgrade, but I think they knew beforehand there was going to be a big parade, big demonstration in Niles.
How did you know?
Well, in fact, it probably was announced. I don't know if they announced through the papers or not, but word got around they were going to have a big parade, and they were going to bring in outsiders to parade with them.
What was your reaction personally to that?
Well, we were worried. They had us worried. Now, we didn't know what the outcome would be. So everybody was out to defend themselves. That's the only impression it gave you. People were worried. Like we mentioned before, very, very much concerned.
Did you think they were going to come through your neighborhood?
Yes, we had that feeling too. Yes, we did. Because if they came in the middle of a night, in secret, in hiding, and bird crosses, I don't think they'd hold much back on much of anything else.
Mm-hmm. What did the church do? Anything?
I don't think the church did not get involved. They did not get involved whatsoever. But we were cautioned about what to expect and to defend yourself at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't get involved. Not no way.
Was there any desecration of the church on the part
not
of the?
I know. No.
You've never heard of that.
No.
Okay. The Jennings has told me that there was a rumor that the Klansmen were going to go to the convent to attack the nuns. Did you hear that?
I heard it. Yeah, we were we heard that. But how true that was, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did any Klansmen come up and down the street in your neighborhood?
No, I don't think so. I never saw him before, and never saw him during the trouble either. So,
mm-hmm. In your neighborhood, you never saw him. Where were you that day? What did you do?
Well, I was home. You mean this particular day, November 1st? I was home, and one of the older boys had a little Ford truck he hauled coal. And he said, let's go downtown and see the parade. So I hopped in and went along with him, even though I was worried. But I said, well, it might be a peaceful parade. I didn't know. And we went downtown, and there was no parade. So we said, well, let's go out Main Street. Maybe they're organizing the parade. And we got the corner of Federal and Main Street. And there's quite a disturbance there. Klansmen were rushing to get up to North Road, and people there trying to stop them from traffic from going through to prevent them from going to North Road. I can remember that. But anyhow, we continued on to North Road. He says, well, maybe the parade's starting up there. And we went on to North Road, and what we saw before our eyes is unbelievable. There's a line of Klansmen in Rhodes, North Road, as far as the eye could see. So we did not stay there. We turned around and proceeded to go back down Main Street, to go back downtown. And on coming back downtown, at the corner of Federal and Main, that's where the GE is, there was quite a commotion, quite a disturbance. The cars with Klansmen in it, in uniform, were still trying to go up North Main Street. And, of course, there were people trying to stop them. And I think that some shooting went on at the time, too. There was also shooting both sides. There was some shooting went on.
Now, the Klan was trying to get to where when they were at the GE?
Yeah, well, they were proceeding north, up North Main.
To get to North Road.
Yeah, they're all already assembled up on North Road. Mm-hmm. They're already assembled.
I thought that they had tried to assemble by the steel mill on
Republic
North
Steel.
Main, yeah.
Well, that's the place I'm talking about. This is the beginning of North Road. But they did not assemble in front of the Republic Steel.
Oh, okay.
On North Road itself, which is strictly across from Republic Steel, North Road.
Oh, I'm thinking of where Potomac Street and Camrose is, you know, going out towards 422.
North Road, you go up North Main, mm-hmm. You turn off on North Road, and that's where they were assembled, from the beginning North Road on down.
On towards the steel mill?
No, right on North Road.
All right, towards 422.
See, the steel mill's on Main Street, mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're on North Road towards...
That's right. They're going to assemble there and then continue to march on downtown from down Main Street and march down Town Street.
Had they used that field at all by the steel mill to assemble the night before? Did they have a bivouac there?
I don't know. That's the first, as far as I ever went, and that was at that time only, is that I can remember going that far and seeing anything. That's as much as I can remember up there. But the parade never got started.
Tell me some more about North Road first. How many would you estimate? Thousands or hundreds?
I don't. We weren't there that long. We saw that, we just made an about face and went on back. We didn't stop to investigate or look. We just went there barely to see a parade. But I knew all I could say, it was a long line. It could have been.
How many abreast in the line?
Oh, they weren't. They're just starting to... line up. They were just commencing to line up, and it could have been two abreast, could have been four abreast, some places four, and they were just starting to organize, get in line. But it was a good size crowd.
Were they off to the side of the road or right in the middle of the road?
Well, like I explained, some were already assembling on the road and some commencing to fall in, see, uh-huh. In line. Uh-huh. But there were, I'd imagine, a lot of outsiders there.
Oh, yeah.
And then went out the corner of Main, and that's where the big disturbance was, corner of Main and Federal. That's where all the shooting took place.
How many people were in that truck with you?
Just the two of us. We just went for a ride. Just two of us. No. I got off the truck.
You got off the truck at Main Street? Where did you get off the truck at?
I got off at, he was stopped, and... I got off the truck, and I continued to walk on down Main Street as far as the Erie Railroad track, and my intentions were to get home. And looking on down the railroad track, all up and down the track, there were railroad police officers and detectives. I saw them, and train loads. Passenger train loads that were stopped. They were advised not to proceed. And they said there were more people on there that were to get off the train to join the parade.
For the Klan?
Yes. That the trains were stopped, they would not let them proceed. You can see train loads up above. And I came on down home, and that's where I stayed. I stayed put.
When you saw the action at the corner of Federal and Main Street, what did you see? How many people were there?
There were quite a few people.
Jam-packed?
No, I wouldn't say jam-packed. I mean, it's, but there's 100 or 200 people anyhow. You know.
Were the Catholics outnumbered?
Oh, heavily, yes. Heavily outnumbered, yeah.
What was going on?
Well, like I described to you, they were trying to get up to join the parade, I assume. But they were attempting to stop them from proceeding up North Main.
Were these Klansmen coming from South Main?
They were coming probably from South Main, yes. South Main on up. Up.
Were they actually fighting it out? Were they swinging?
Where they were coming from, I don't know now, but they were in cars. They
were,
mm-hmm. cars.
Were they swinging at each other, fighting? Were they actually hitting each other? Or?
No, they were in cars. Some they were trying to stop the cars from going on up. Now. But, there may have been some fist fights. We didn't stop because we were in the... I was in the truck, and we went on up, you know. We didn't stop. They let us through. Perhaps they knew us. And
how did they stop the cars?
Well, I got to...
This is side two of the interview with Jim Yule at his home on Wood Street. Mr. Yule, did you see any shooting there at the intersection with your eyes?
I heard shots. I didn't see whoever was doing the shooting. I don't know. They were in the crowd.
A lot of...
They were trying to prevent these cars. More or less to scare them, I guess, from going on. But they went on through. They went on through. I didn't see anyone injured or anything, but from what I heard, there was several people injured. Yeah, some of the people that were standing around trying to prevent the cars from going through, they were shot.
Some of the Catholics were. Some of the Catholics were shot.
Yeah, one in the jaw.
One in the jaw.
One in the foot.
Do you remember those people?
No, I don't. No, I remember talking about it.
Yeah. How many cars were there that were trying to come in?
Oh, I told you, I wasn't there that long, Steve.
I mean, were they coming in one at a time?
They were coming in.
One at a time or a whole parade of them?
Well, they were coming in from directions. They're coming in probably some Robbins Avenue on down and up Federal to Maine, and some coming from South Maine. So they're coming in from different places.
Was there a lot of shouting?
There was, yes, quite a bit. Yes, there was. Yes.
What was being said?
I don't know. About stop. You give warning signs, you know, signs. And the idea was to stop them from proceeding, getting through there.
Mm-hmm. These people,
they wanted to turn around and go back.
These people in the cars, were they wearing Klan uniforms?
Yes, they were. I can remember one incident which I mentioned to you about when I got off the track and walked on home. Down the railroad track, and a car stopped here at the corner.
What corner?
Well, that was a car. Somebody in the driveway.
No, I mean, what corner?
I don't know. It's a corner, but along the east side here somewhere. I think they had a carload of Klan uniforms that they took away from. But they stopped this one car. They stopped this one car. I don't know. They took every uniform they had. They were probably going to take them on up to North Main. And I assume that that's where they got them.
They
had a carload of uniform. Did you hear that?
Was it Jennings who had the robes tied to his bumper?
Yeah, that could have been. I didn't see that.
It was like a trophy to these people then.
Yeah.
To confiscate a robe was a trophy, in other words. Is that the way
I don't think they want them to keep them, but... They just didn't want them to get into the parade.
Yeah.
They were taken from cars.
Was there an altercation at all in McKinley Heights?
McKinley Heights? I don't know about McKinley Heights.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the Flaming Circle.
The Flaming Circle, well, all I can tell you about is what I heard, and I never saw any of them come in here. It's just something I think was organized in Steubenville to counter the Ku Klux Klan, keep them in bounds, and it was really originally organized in Steubenville, which gradually spread here. Then they heard about the big parade that was going to take place here. I think they were stopped at a parade in Steubenville, Ohio, too.
The Klan?
Yes. And so they were going to make an attempt here in Niles. They set that as their next goal. And I guess the boys got in contact with Niles, told them what to prepare for, what to look for. And that's as much as we know about it. Mm-hmm. And that was the day of the big parade, November 1st, 1924. Mm-hmm. And the Flaming Circle was pretty well organized. And Niles, I think, was pretty well organized that time.
What was the feeling of the neighborhood that day as the rioting was going on downtown?
Well, I saw a lot of tears shed. I saw a lot of tears shed that day. Everybody was very much worried. Because anything could happen. Anything could flare up in a situation like that. It could become very, very serious. A little spark let go, and you wouldn't know what the eventualities would be. So they were very, very much worried. The neighborhood was concerned about it.
Do you think any of them were confused about what America was?
Yes, they began to get confused. Maybe they weren't before, or they're becoming more so. And they were good people. I don't know why. And they worked with a lot of these people. They worked together in the mills and the factories. They worked side by side. And then to have that feeling exist, you know, I saw good friends become separated on account of that. For
after
no
the,
reason at all.
After the riot.
During and after.
Mm-hmm.
During this trouble, I saw close friends become separated. Why? Over nothing.
What did you think when the troops came in?
Well, that was another thing. And the, of course, the sheriff, the city could not handle the problem. It became out of hand. Even the Trumbull County Sheriff played a very important part. I think Smith, who was Trumbull County Sheriff at that time, I don't remember. It was Smith.
Thomas or Smith?
Smith or Thomas, but I don't know. I think it was Smith. And he brought in the militia. He saved the day. He brought in the militia immediately. Immediately. They were here in no time at all. And they set up vantage points at each corner, every corner. In the neighborhoods had four or five militiamen. And they were there for several days, 24 hours a day. And people were not permitted to congregate or gather anywhere. Any public place or street corner, you could at home, but you were not allowed to gather or be permitted to congregate. We happened to be at a wedding one time, right here at the corner, and they broke up the wedding, so we had to go to Girard and finish up the the dinner. But
what were the Niles police doing during the riot?
Well.
Did you see
a handful of police? That was much they could handle. They tried to cover what they were able to, but of course they had close friends on both sides. So what could you do? They tried to make peace, but they just couldn't handle the problem. I couldn't see why they could handle it, but they had to have outside help. Mm-hmm. It became too enormous. Yep.
Well, how long did it take before the hard feelings between the Catholics and the Ku Klux Klan people died down?
Well, it took some time, Steve. It took time. It was just like anything else. Time is the best healer. And they eventually got over it. Because those were things that I don't think they were brought on by themselves. They were just things that were brought into town by somebody else. Not that they created the problem itself.
Mm-hmm.
That was the sad part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they eventually overcame.
Mr. Yule, we've had several mayors in the community. Among those mayors, you see a list in front of you now. Who were those you thought were among the best?
Well, as difficult as the thing as it is to pick them out, I can pick out a few that I thought were very capable mayors. Of course, as a youngster, I always liked Charlie Crow because he was good to the young people. He was very sports-minded, and we loved sports, and he went along with us. And in that respect, I think he did a lot for the to establish something for the youth of this town. And he's very, very popular in general. You want me to pick out those that I just, you know, and of course, Mayor Ferguson. I worked for Mayor Ferguson in his drugstore when I first came out of college. When he became mayor, I became a pharmacist in his store.
What years?
And, 1935.
32-35. He was a mayor. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I worked in his drugstore.
What kind of
a
person?
A very nice personality. I mean, he would. He'd go all out to give you assistance, any help you wanted. He was there, and had a very pleasing personality, and I enjoyed being with him on many occasions. William Carney, of course, I knew William Carney. He's a hard worker, and he went all out for the city. Elmer Fisher, I could pick out Elmer Fisher as being a good mayor, because Ed Lenny, Tom Smith, and of course Carlo DeCristofaro. I think the men all worked hard,
mm-hmm.
And if you had any suggestions or ideas or some assistance, they did work to the best of their ability to help you out on problems, and we always look forward to that. You know, if you need assistance, the situations come up many a time, you approach them, they are willing to help you. And those are my favorite mayors.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the others would fall in line too, but of all these, those are the ones that I like to mention first.
Do you remember any police chiefs before Ross?
Police chiefs, I can remember, the first police chief I remember is Link Browns.
What kind of guy was he?
Link Browns, to look at Link Browns, he seemed like a very stern personality, which he was. He was very dedicated to his job, and of course we were younger kids at the time he was police chief, but he was very, very strict and concerned, with not only with the police, but with the townspeople in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him as being a very good police chief. Of course, I remember after, I think Burline came after Link Browning, Charlie Burline. Charlie Burline became a very capable police chief, and of course, and he was followed by John Ross. And then John, all my life, was just, of course, he was more of our classification, our age, and I knew him a little more personally. I did the others, and those three there, that's all I can remember, and I respected all three of them, all good men.
What can you remember about the bootlegging days?
Bootlegging days?
What was the East End like?
East End was in the 30s. Everybody had to struggle for a living, so no matter what, whether stealing coal or bootlegging, and, I can remember bootlegging. People that tried it anyhow. Tried it. Some got away with it. Some didn't. Made their own moonshine.
Many people told me that Jennings's had the best liquor in the area, not only in Niles but in the entire area.
They did not make their own liquor. They probably bought it from bootleggers. They didn't make their liquor. They had a good reputation for good liquor, good brand.
Did you ever hear of a place called Louis the Owls?
Oh yes, Louis the Owl was a very popular place, it was well liked. Louis the Owl was a very, very fine person. Even though he sold the beer in buckets, and home brew, we call it. And Louis the Owl was very, very popular in his day. Of course, there were a good many others besides Louis.
Where was Louis the Owl? On Main Street? Mason Street, right?
Well, he had several places. But, he had. I can remember one place. I think it was up at the end of Scott Street. That's the only place. He had several places, though, but there used to be other areas, perhaps Pratt Street. I don't know, somewhere too. Pratt Street. That's much I can remember.
What are some of the other areas that were popular, maybe? Louis the Owl, Jennings. Do you remember any others that you want to name?
No, I don't. I didn't frequent those places too much. So I can remember Jennings, Louis the Owl, and.
What was a typical speakeasy like when you walked?
Then we had another place called the Black House.
I've heard of that place.
The Black House. Yeah, it's no longer. They tore that down. At the end of Langley Street.
At the end of Langley.
At the end of Langley Street.
Why was it called the Black House?
Because the house was just unpainted. Then you had several places on East Park Avenue. The one we call the Chicken Market.
Why is that?
I don't know, because they formerly sold chickens. It's sort of a meat market and chicken. Chicken Market. There's quite a few places there along that way at the extreme end of East Market. East Park.
East Park, yeah.
Pardon me. East Park Avenue and Grant Street. Yeah. Had a lot of places along in there. But I never went to those places.
Did you ever have the opportunity to go into Jennings's at all?
Oh, yeah. Of course, we had our gym. I played football with him. We had the gym right alongside the building. He had a gymnasium where the fighters trained, and we, of course, we dressed up in uniform to play football, you know, in the gym.
Was the gym separate from the...
Oh, yes.
It was a separate building.
Building alongside of it.
There's a parking lot there now, then.
Yeah, the parking lot, yeah. Of course, they enlarged it now, made a larger building, but they had a gym alongside of the present corner building. And we're all fighters trained, and we had lockers. We had locker rooms or showers where we changed before the games and undressed after a game.
What was the speakeasy like inside?
What were they like? Oh, we had a bar, just like an ordinary bar room. Bar, but you never didn't see any liquor. None in sight. No liquor in sight.
How did they hide it?
Well, that was a secret to themselves only. You didn't. You went in and bought a drink. I guess out came the bottle. But that was known to them only. They wouldn't tell you where they put it.
I've heard of.
They didn't have a display of bottles. Now don't get that impression. There was one bottle.
I've heard people saying they were able to hide it in the walls.
Oh, that's what I say. It was no problem hiding because one or two bottles, you know, you could easily dispose of it, you know. Because they had their, in case they were raided, they could readily dispose of it. So it was just one or two bottles. I mean. Of course, they were refilled from time to time. And if they made a sale over the bar to take out their sold in pop bottles, you bought it by the pop bottles. $1 a pop bottle.
What did you ever possibly hear of the Black Hand? Did you ever know of their existence? Ever hear of their existence?
They talked about it when I was a kid, yes. We were small children then. And it existed. It was here in the islands. Yeah, it was here. But there was another worry too.
I've heard Jennings. Yes. I've heard Jennings kept it under control. He kind of pushed them out.
Right. I think yes. They're a little bit worried about that. But they were organized. Probably before I was born, they were still here, and I was just a youngster.
When did they fade out?
I don't know. I didn't know any of them. If they were, did belong, who they were, I don't know.
What type of things did the Black Hand do to people?
Well, they tried to bleed them for money or whatever, you know, anything that they could get their hand on. Any finances or principally money. If they could squeeze it out of you.
Did they help people in any way?
Not that I know. We never got any assistance.
Well, when did they fade away?
Now, I'll tell you one thing here. If we had Black Hands here, they drifted in here.
From out of town?
Out of town. The bigger cities. They probably came in from the larger cities, Chicago, Cleveland, New York. And they drifted in here. And some of the boys here got the idea, well, we can group together, maybe start something too, you know. But they're behind it. The boys from the big city were behind it. I didn't know any of them. I didn't know any.
Okay, let me ask you this, if I have this right. Tell me if I'm accurate. By the 1930s, the Black Hand was really out-of-towners who may have come in on the chance of organizing things.
I'd say a good many were, the majority.
Most of the people
try
who would
to organize them here. Uh-huh. But they would be under their surveillance.
Under whose surveillance? Under the whose surveillance?
Well, the boys that came in were had the controlling interest. The boys that came in from the big city.
Yeah.
Sure.
They wanted to have the control.
They were under their command.
I see. All right. Now, the Black Hands who came into town were controlled by other people outside of town.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, then those Black Handers who had lived in Niles around 1910, 1915, were gone by now, in other words, most of them.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, I see what you're saying. And by this time, places like Jennings or other bootleggers, by the 30s, late 30s especially, probably began to become stronger and form a nucleus where they controlled things a little more in town than they had a decade earlier. Am I right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's about all I can remember of that.
Did you remember anything about the incident where Marty Flask was murdered? Anything you want to talk about?
No, I don't think that. I don't think.
Okay.
No.
All right. Mr. Yule, is there anything else that you would like to add to this?
To that particular thing, that's about all.
To the whole?
Other things you want to talk about, I don't know.
Okay, well, not right now.
As that's concerned, that's as much as my memory tells me.
Fine. Thank you very much.